Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called Growing in the Seasons of Life. In these teachings, Pastor Rick shows you how to make the most of the seasons of life, no matter which one you're in. In just a little while, we're going to tell you about a one-of-a-kind resource that will help you draw closer to Jesus. It's called the Journey with Jesus Deluxe Gift Book. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Season of Financial Stress.
How do you eliminate discontent? Well, the way you learn to be content is by eliminating the cause. And the cause of discontent is always the same thing. It's comparing. Comparing is what causes discontent. We have made comparing an indoor sport. We compare everything in this county. We compare lawns.
Is this greener?
We compare cars. We compare husbands and wives. We compare clothes. But we are incessantly comparing everything around us. And whenever you compare, you're always going to become discontent. You got to learn to stop comparing yourself to others. Most of you know I am a computer nut, and I love state-of-the-art computers. And a while back, I got the top primo, top-of-the-line computer. I mean, it had everything on it. And I got this, and when I got it and I unpacked it, I want to know, I was happy. There is a happiness in things for a little while. But you know, it wore off because it was minutes or hours later. I don't remember when it was. I picked up the latest issue of PC Magazine, opened it up, and the new model had come out. And I'm going, they sold me last week's model. And all my joy just went, bleh. I mean, I thought I had the screaming machine, and now it was already out of date before I had even used it. And boy, was I upset. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You get a new stereo, and you put it in. You go, wow, this sounds so great. And then you go next door, and they just got one that has twice the power, and the speakers are this big. And they're hidden, and you can't even find them. And it gives this surround sound that gives you goosebumps on your goosebumps. And all of a sudden, your little Radio Shack version isn't worth it anymore. Comparing always gets you in trouble. You got to learn to be content. Notice what Paul says. Philippians 4:12. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation. Circle the word learn. Contentment is something you have to learn. It does not come natural. By nature, human beings are not content. By nature, we are discontent. And so God says, I want you to learn to be content. And if you'll do this, then I promise to meet all your financial needs. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8 says this. There is a great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Now, you know that's true. I mean, I know that's true. You didn't bring anything into the world. I was there at the birth of my three kids. I was in the Lamaze thing, and when they all popped out, not one of them had a boombox on their shoulder, you know? And I've been at the funerals, and when you die, you don't cram a whole bunch of goodies into the coffin with you and take it with you. Now listen, one of the greatest secrets in life and learning to be happy and peace of mind is to realize that you really don't own anything. You really don't own anything. It's all on loan to you for about 80 years. You didn't bring a single thing into this world, and you're not going to carry anything out of it either. You just get to use it while you're here on earth. The Bible calls that stewardship. that you are the manager or you are the steward of what God allows you to have while you're here, but it's not really yours because you're not going to take it with you and you didn't bring it in the first place. And if God wanted you to lose it, you could lose it all overnight in a dozen different ways. So when you have this idea of I'm just a manager of the blessings God allows in my life, and you hold them with an open hand, you're not always grasping, you're not always hoarding, you're not always, you know, uptight about what if I lose it? Well, so what if you lose it? God can turn off one faucet and turn on another just as easily. You learn to be content. Why? Because things don't last. What does last? Your character. And God's far more interested, as I said, in your character than in your comfort. Now, if you only intend to use your wealth in life for personal selfishness, why should God help you in that? If you buy into the myth of thinking that having more will make me more happy, why should God affirm that myth in your life? If you think that life really consists in he who dies with the most toys wins, God is not going to subsidize your addiction. God is under no obligation to meet all your needs if you think that money is what life's all about. And so he says the second condition for me to meet all your needs is you've got to have the right attitude toward money, that you love God and use money. You love people, use money. You reverse those two, you get in trouble. If you start loving money, you're going to start using people. And you get them out of order. So what I'm saying is that God's not going to indulge your greed. So he watches your attitude. Let me ask you a very personal question. Could God trust you with wealth? Can God trust you with wealth? I'm not really sure why. Well, yes, I do know why. But God has chosen the handling of money to be the acid test in this life of your faith and your character. And in Scripture, it says that God watches how you handle money, how you save it, spend it, share it, give it, all these things, as an acid test of your character and your faith. Why? Because we spend our entire lives trying to get it, save it, make it, you know, use it. All it envelops our life so much. So God has chosen money as an acid test of your faith. And if you don't learn contentment, you're never going to be happy. Now, when it comes to wealth, listen to the voices of people who've been at the top. John D. Rockefeller, one of the wealthiest men in American history. I have made many, many, many millions, but they brought me no happiness. I would barter it all away for the days when I sat on a stool in Cleveland and counted myself rich on $3 a day. John Vanderbilt, listen to this. The care of $200 million is a burden too great for any brain or back to bear. It is enough to kill anyone. There is no pleasure in it. Andrew Carnegie once said, millionaires seldom smile unless they know the Lord.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
As Jesus made his way to Calvary on the road called the Via Dolorosa, which translates to the way of suffering, there were 15 stops he made along the way, which hold tremendous significance for every Christian. Since many of us may not be able to travel to Jerusalem to visit this place, Pastor Rick Warren has created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus that will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover and is filled with beautiful glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us from our sins. The narrative will give you deep biblical insight into the most important event in human history. This powerful resource makes a meaningful gift. It is only available through Daily Hope, and we'll send it to you when you support this ministry with a financial gift. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. By the way, today is the last day to donate to this ministry and have your gift doubled by a very generous Daily Hope listener, up to $25,000. So please contact us today to let us know how you would like to help. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004. Or visit PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
They did a study of lottery winners, and they discovered that the average amount of happiness that it brings to the lottery winner lasts, listen, 3 months. 3 months. Because unless you learn contentment, you'll always want more, no matter how much you've made. Number three, if God is going to meet all my needs the way He guarantees, He says, I will meet them if I ask for His help, if I learn to be content, and number three, if I practice giving in faith. If I practice giving in faith. Now, this is the law of the harvest. This is a long passage of Scripture here, but it has a lot of truth into it, so I want you to read it with me. Notice, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He's talking like about planting seed. And whoever sows generously will also reap what? Generously. Now, he says, each one of you should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, that means under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, let me stop here before we go on. If you ever feel pressured to give, don't. If somebody ever comes to your door and pressures you to give, or you watch a TV show and feel guilt and pressured to give, or you hear a preacher pressuring you to give, don't. Because you don't get any credit for that kind of gift. It says God loves a cheerful giver. And God is looking not at the amount you give, but at the attitude. And if you're giving it out of pressure or guilt, it doesn't count. So the next time somebody pressures you to give some money somewhere, you just say, I don't have to give because my pastor said I don't have to. And I'm telling you don't have to because God says you don't have to, because you don't need to get any credit if you give it with the wrong attitude anyway. Get it? Good. Now, it says God loves a cheerful giver, but he says it's the way you sow. Now, you know this principle of sowing and reaping. And the principle of sowing and reaping applies to every area of life, not just finances. That whatever you sow in life, you're going to reap. Whatever you deposit is going to be returned to you. If you sow criticism in life, you are going to reap criticism from other people. Just count on it. If you, on the other hand, sow kindness in life, you're kind to people, count on it. You're going to reap kindness in your life. It's a law of the harvest. If I plant apple seeds, I don't get pears, I get apples. If I plant pear seeds, I don't get oranges, I get pears. Whatever I sow, I'm going to reap in life. If I sow generously, financially, I will reap generously, financially. If I sow energy, I will reap energy. That's the whole principle behind when you go to Family Fitness and you work out and you expend energy, the result of that is the next day you actually have more energy because you worked out. So whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Now, when a farmer looks out at his barren field and he knows, if I don't get any crops, I'm going bankrupt. He doesn't start griping about it and go, oh, my barren field. He just goes out and starts sowing, planting some seed. And if he only has a little bit of seed, he has a choice. I can either eat this seed, what I've got, hold on to it, hoard it, hold on to it and eat it, or I can give it away. If he holds on to it, that's all he's got. But if he gives it away, in the economy of this world, God has set it up that when you give it away, God multiplies it back to you. And the amazing thing is this. You don't just sow what you reap what you sow. You always reap more than you sow. For instance, if you are critical of somebody, you're going to get more criticism back than you gave out. For instance, in the physical world, if you plant 2 bushels of wheat, are you going to get back 2 bushels of wheat? No. You plant 2 bushels, you will get back, you could expect an average of 67 bushels back. If you plant 3 bushels of oats, you will harvest, on average, 79 bushels of oats back. This is amazing. If you plant just 7.5 pounds of corn, 7.5 pounds of corn, you will reap 120 bushels of corn back. Now, those of you who are home gardeners understand this. I had to learn this the hard way. One day I said, I want some tomatoes. So I went out and I thought, well, I like 18 tomatoes. So I bought 18 tomato plants. And I planted them. Good night. I had no idea how productive those things were. I was begging people to take my tomatoes. I was throwing them at neighbors. I mean, I was just take them, please, take them. I had more tomatoes than I can imagine. You always reap more than you sow. Now, here's the principle of the harvest. And God set it up this way because he wants you to become like him. Remember, God is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave. And the only way you're ever going to become like Jesus is to learn to be generous. When you're stingy, you're like the devil. When you're generous, you're like Jesus Christ and God. God is a giver. Everything you have in your life, you have because of a gift from God. You would have nothing otherwise. Now, here's the principle. When I hold on tightly to what I've got and I hoard it, that's all I got. But when I give it away, God multiplies it. Now, here's the principle. Write this down. Here's the law. Whenever I have a need, I plant a seed. Whenever I have a need, I plant a seed. Now, you say, Rick, this sounds illogical, that to give away when I have a need will end up in me getting more back. That just sounds illogical. Right, it does sound illogical. But that's called faith. You say, well, Rick, it doesn't make sense. Well, of course it doesn't make sense. In Isaiah, God says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. In fact, if you ever want to know what God wants to do in a situation, you can usually, most of the time, figure out what you would naturally do and then take the exact opposite. Because God says, my ways are not your ways. God says the way you get is by giving, not by holding on. Now, I know some of you have thought about this, and you say, well, okay. What we normally say is, when all my needs are met, then I'll start giving. God says, oh, no, 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 you missed the point. Time out. You give in advance. You start giving, and then I'll meet all your needs. God multiplies what you've already given, not what you promised to give. God isn't impressed with what I say I'm going to do. God is impressed with what I do. That's the faith. And so God is saying, well, you know, I made this commitment. The money never came in, so I haven't given it. Well, that's not the way it works. God says you give it, often at sacrifice to yourself at this moment. And then he says, I will multiply it and use it in a great way. Now notice what it says here. Circle all the alls in this verse. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I think God's trying to get the message across here. He's saying, what does this leave left to worry about? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You see, when you worry, you're missing the point here. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Read this verse aloud with me. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns. The rest of it says to overflow. Now, this is the principle of tithing. We've talked about this many times, so I don't have to go into it today. But tithing is the principle taught all through Scripture that the first 10% of all that I make goes back to God. It is an act of worship. If I make $10, then the first dollar I give back to God. Not the last, but the first dollar. If I make $100, the first $10 goes back to God. If I make $1,000, the first $100 go back to God. Tithing means the first 10% goes back to God. Now, why did he say 10%? I don't know. Beats me. He could have said 50%. He could have said, give me half of everything you earn because it all comes from me in the first place. He could have said 90%. He could have said, I want you to tithe 90% and live on 10. But he said, give the first 10% back. Why? Does God need my money? Is God poor? You got to be kidding. God doesn't need your money. What he wants is what it represents. You, your heart. And he says, I want you to put me first place in your life by making me first in your time and first in your money. I don't care how much you claim Jesus is first in your life. If you're not tithing, he's not first in your life. He's just not. Because where you put your time and your money determines what's first in your life. And that's what God is saying. When Kay and I got married, we made a decision the very first, well, even before we got married, that no matter if anybody else got paid, God would get paid first. And even in the leanest days, I mean, even when we started Saddleback and there was no salary here, and we were just praying in our rent for where we were renting a condo, God got paid first. We have gone through many tough times, but we've also gone through many times that have proven God says, I will meet your needs if you ask for help, you commit to learning contentment, and you practice giving in faith. Now, I know some of you saying, but Rick, you don't understand. I can't afford to tithe. And I want to say to you, you can't afford not to. You can't do you whatever you want God to bless, you have to put him first in. If you want God to bless your family, then you put him first in your family. If you want God to bless a relationship, he needs to be first in that relationship. If God, you want God to bless your finances, he needs to be first in your finances.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together, but first, I want to tell you about today's special opportunity. As Jesus made his way to Calvary on the road called Via Dolorosa, which translates to the way of suffering, there were 15 stops he made along the way, which hold tremendous significance for every Christian, since many of us may not be able to travel to Jerusalem to visit this place. Pastor Rick Warren has created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus. It will give you a way to celebrate, reflect, and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover, and it's filled with beautiful glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us. The narrative will give you deep biblical insight into the most important event in human history. We'll send you Journey with Jesus as our way of saying thanks when you support this ministry with a financial gift. You want to get extra copies to give as gifts to your friends and family members. This one-of-a-kind resource is only available through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. By the way, today is the last day to donate to this ministry and have your gift doubled by a very generous Daily Hope listener, up to $25,000. So please contact us today and let us know how you would like to help. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Now today, a generous friend of Daily Hope is offering a $25,000 matching grant. Now let me explain this. $25,000 matching grant means that when you give, it doubles your donation. But here's the thing. I want you to pray about this. I appreciate your giving. Today, your gift can be doubled. But please hear me out. I only want you to give if you feel led by God to do so. Do not give under pressure, because God doesn't reward that kind of giving. So I want you to just pause and say, God, you want me to be a part of this giving today on the matching gift. You see, your financial generosity actually makes it possible for me to teach you and to teach other people all around the world. You know, the Daily Hope broadcast actually goes into refugee camps. Your support helps all these people in the refugee camps learn about Jesus and helps them to grow in their faith. So again, thanks everybody for your generosity. I love you, and I'm confident that God is going to use your donation to bring more people into the kingdom. Thanks for listening, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Call 800-600-5004 to get this powerful resource, or you can visit PastorRick.com. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.